السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we'll cover ayat 136 to 141 of Surah Al-Baqarah today. We'll start with the word meanings first. Ayah number 136. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قولوا. قولوا is a command. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to a bunch of people. قولوا, you all say. آمنا. آمنا means to believe. And that comes from the word iman, which means faith or belief. So, amanna, the nun alif at the end, is the pronoun, and that means we. So, we believed, billahi, be in, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa and ma, what? Unzila, was revealed, or sent down. And when we look at this word, we know it's in the past. It's in the passive tense, and it's in the past, we know, because the first letter has a dhamma on it, and the second last letter has a kasra underneath it. So that means this word is passive, and it's in the past tense. So unzila was sent down. And when we look at these sort of words, we can't figure out who is the doer, that who sent this down. But we figure it out using context clues. So, unzila was sent down, ilayna, ilay means to, na, us, wa, and, ma, why, unzila was sent down, or revealed, ila, to, Ibrahima, Ibrahim alayhi salam, wa, and, Ismail alayhi salam, wa, and, Ishaqa, Ishaq alayhi salam, wa and Yaqub alayhi salam, wa and al-asbati, the descendants. Sabt is the root word here, and that means offspring or lineage. So asbati means the descendants or grandchildren. Wa and ma, what? Utiya was given. And this is also in the passive tense, and it's in the past. So Udiya was given Musa to Musa alayhi salam, wa and Isa to Isa alayhi salam, wa and ma, what? Udiya was given An-Nabiyuna, the prophet. Now, the root word here is Nabi. Nabi means one prophet. And the Una ending just makes this word plural. So An-Nabiyuna, the prophets, min, from, Rabbi. Rabb means Lord or sustainer, the one who created, the one who sustains. So Rabbi, Lord or sustainer, him, theirs. La, not. Nufarriqu, we discriminate. Nu in the beginning means we, and faraqa is the root word here, and that means to differentiate. So nufarriqu, we differentiate, baina, between. Ahadin, anyone. Min, from, whom, them. Wa, and, nahnu, we, lahu, la, to, who, him, muslimun, ones who submit. Muslim is one who submits, and una ending just makes this word plural. So, the ones who surrender or submit. Fa, so, in, if, Amanu, they believed. Now this word is also plural because it ends in a waw sukun. So Amanu, they believed. Bimithli, be with, measly, like ma, what, amandum. Aman also comes from the word iman, which means belief. So aman, believed, dum, you, be, with, he, it, fa, quade, fa, then, quade, in fact, ihtadaw, they obtained guidance. Huda is the root word here, and that means guidance. And ihtadaw is plural. It ends in waw sukun, and it's talking about them obtaining guidance. So ihtadaw, they received guidance. Wa, and in, if, tawallaw. Walla means to turn away. So tawalla means to turn away. Tawallaw is plural. So they turned away. Fa, then, innama. Indeed. So innama is basically the same thing as inna, which means indeed or surely. So fa innama, then indeed, hum, they, fi, in, shiqaq, a dissension. Fa sayakfikahum, fa, so, sa, soon, yakfika. Ya means he, yakfika, will be sufficient, hum, will be sufficient, ka, for you, hum, against them. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you look at the word fasayakfikahum, this is the longest word in the Quran, subhanAllah. Okay? And you can figure that out when we translate the word. We have to use so many words in English to be able to say what this one word says in Arabic. Right? Fasayakfikahum. So soon he will be sufficient for you against them. Allahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahuwa, wa, and huwa, he, as-sami'u. This comes from the root word sama'a, which means hearing. And this is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. As-sami'u, the all-hearing. Al-alim, the all-knowing, always all-knowing. And this comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge, to know. And this is also one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, alim. It means the one who is always all-knowing. So please remember that فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمْ, the word in this ayah, is the longest word in the Quran. صِبْغَةَ, special coloring, اللَّهِ, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one thing about this word, صِبْغَة, please remember that there's also another word in the Quran that means color, and that word is لَوْنٌ, loan. But this word is صِبْغَة. This is a color that is dyed onto something, okay, that we dye, or a color that we adopt in this case. Sibghat Allah, special coloring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and man, who, ahsanu, is better. Hasana is the root word, and that means good. Ahsanu means better. The alif in the beginning just gives more depth to this word. Min, then, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saybaghatan, in special coloring. Wa, and, nahnu, we, lahu, la, for, who, him, abidun. Abd is the root word here, and abd means a slave. And ibadah comes from this too, which means worship. So abid is one who worships. And una ending just makes this word plural. So abidun, ones who worship. Kul, say, this is a command, and here it's singular. Instead of kulu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying kul. So he's speaking to one person, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, atuhajjunana. A is the word that's used for questioning sometimes, and it comes at the beginning of the word. So a means do. Tuhaju, tu means you. Haju, haja means to argue. Okay, to dispute. And ju, the waw sukun after the dhamma on the jim tells us this is plural. So tuhaju means you all argue. Tuhajuna means you all argue. Na, us. So atuhajunana, do you all argue with us? Fi, concerning, or in? Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and. Huwa, he, Rabbuna, Rabbu, Lord, Master, Na, ours, Va, and Rabbu, Lord or Master, Kum, yours. And Kum is plural. We use this tense, this pronoun when we're speaking to a bunch of people. So instead of Ka, this is Kum. Rabbu Kum, your Rab. Va, and La, for Na, us, A'maluna. A'mal is the plural of A'mal. A'mal means a good deed or an action, something we do. So A'malu means deeds, Na, ours, Wa, and La, for Kum, all of you. A'malu, deeds, Kum, yours. Wa, and Nahnu, we, Lahu, La, for Hu, him, Mukhlisun, ones who are sincere. Ikhlas is the root word here, and that means to be sincere. So mukhlis is somebody who is sincere, and una ending just makes this word plural. So mukhlisun, ones who are sincere or devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or takuluna, kul is the root word, which means to say. Ta in the beginning tells us it means you. So you say, and una ending just makes it plural. So takuluna, do you all say, or takuluna, you all say, inna, indeed, Ibrahima, Ibrahim alayhi salam, wa and Ismaila, Ismail alayhi salam, wa and Ishaqa, Ishaq alayhi salam, wa and Yaquba, Yaqub alayhi salam, wa and al-asbaba. Al means the, and asbaba, offspring or descendants, kanu. This comes from the word kun, which means to be, and kanu is plural. So kanu, they were hudan, Jews, or nasara, Christians. Kul, say, this is a command and singular. Aantum, a is used for questioning. The Hamza Fatha in the beginning, do, antum, you all, a'lamu, know more. And this, the root word here is ilm. Ilm, ayn lam mim, that means knowledge. So, a'lamu means more knowledge. Okay? To know more, to have more knowledge. So, a'lamu, know more, or Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa, and man, who, azlamu, is more unjust. So zulm is the word here, the root word, and that means to be unjust. Okay, oppression. And alif in the beginning of this word means to be more unjust. Okay, or most unjust. So wa man azlamu, and who is more unjust? Mimman. This is a compound word. Min and man. Okay, min means then or from, and man means who. Just like we have words in English that we merge. This word has been merged. Like in English, instead of is not, we say isn't, or did not, we say didn't. Right? Using that apostrophe. So same thing here. Instead of min and man, we say mimman. So who is more unjust than who? Katama. He hid. This is singular, and it's in the past. Three fathas in a row on all three letters. So katama, he hid. Shahadatan, a testimony. Indahu, inda, near or with. Who, him. Min, from. Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and ma, not Allahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bi ghafilin. Bi means in the least or at all. Ghafilin, unaware. Amma. This is made up of the two words an and ma. An means from or about. Ma, whatever. Ta'amaloon, you all do. Amal is the root word here, ayn, mim, lam, and that means to do something. And ta in the beginning means you, and una ending just makes it plural. So ta'amaluna, you all do. Tilka, that, ummatun, a community or a nation, whether, in fact, Hoilet, it passed. The tasukun at the end of the word shows us that this word refers to the community. Okay? So, Hoilet, it passed. Laha, la, for, ha, it, ma, wa, kasabat, it earned. Wa, and, lakum, la, for, kum, all of you. Ma, wa, kasabatum, kasab, earned, tum, all of you. Wala, wa, and, la, not, tus'aluna, you all will be questioned. Sa'ala means to ask. Tu in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So, tus'aluna, you all will be questioned. Amma, an means about. Ma, what? Kanu, they were or they used to. Ya'malun, they do. And the same word again as we ended the last ayah with, but the beginning is a little bit different. Okay, the prefix at the beginning of this word, ya instead of ta. So amal means to do. The ya in the beginning means they, and una ending just makes it plural. So ya'malun, they do. Alhamdulillah. So that completes the word meanings for today. That's just one that you've all finished, mashallah. Now we'll start with the tafsirs of these ayat. The translation is done, alhamdulillah. Hold on one second, please. Okay. Inshallah, we'll start with the explanation. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ayah number 136. Qulu. You all say. So in response to the Jews, the Christians, and the polytheists who claimed that Ibrahim alayhi salam was from them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he was Hanif. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not from those groups. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the believers to tell them how to be Hanif, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we learned what Hanif was last week. Hanif means to be devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be completely focused, unswerving. Okay, he wasn't willing to ever compromise. He always obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was Hanif. He was always upright, rightly guided. That's what Hanif means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers to tell them how to be Hanif, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Amanna billah. And say, we believe in Allah. What does that mean, to believe in Allah? It's very easy to say these words, but do we know what these words actually mean? There was a Sahabi, a companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to tremble with fear while making wudu, thinking that he was going to stand in worship before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After we declare that we believe in Allah, we must prove that we actually do. We say very easily that He is our ilah, meaning that He's our Lord, He is our Rabb, our Master, Sustainer. So He is the one whose orders we must prioritize in our lives. With all other relationships, we try to fulfill our responsibilities so well. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at times we don't even know what we are required to do, to worship Him, to please Him. It's a great thing to say that we believe in Allah and we consider Him our ilah. And there is a great responsibility that comes with declaring this belief. It's not enough to just say this. If it were that easy, even the polytheistic people of Mecca could have said, we believe. If only they just had to say it and they didn't have to do anything. But even they were aware of the responsibilities that come with belief in Allah. We cannot say that we believe in Allah as our God and then not even obey Him. We should think that He is everything to us. That's what it means to say that He is God. And what else must we believe in? وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا, and that which was revealed to us, the Quran, that we believe in our book, first of all. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ, and we believe in the suhoof that were revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, and their offspring, their descendants, all the messengers who came from Allah after Ibrahim alayhi salam were from his offspring only. All of them were from his descendants. So we believe in whatever was revealed to all of them. This was such an honor for Ibrahim alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only sent messengers out of his offspring after him. All the messengers chosen were from his offspring, subhanAllah. And they were all the descendants of Ishaq alayhi salam. All of them except for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only he was from Ismail alayhi salam's offspring. So all the chosen prophets probably had some sort of wahi revealed to them, some sort of divine revelation from Allah. Like Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, and their children, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Yusha alayhi salam, and all the other prophets chosen from their offspring. So they must have received some sort of wahi from Allah. So we believe in whatever was revealed to them from Allah. وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى, and we believe in whatever was given to Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. Although these two prophets were also from Ibrahim alayhi salam's offspring, they are mentioned separately because people used their names to form large groups. So their names are specifically mentioned to emphasize that they were prophets too. So the people who formed the two groups using their names would know that we as Muslims believe in all of them, including these two messengers. Musa alayhi salam was given the Torah, and Isa alayhi salam was given the Bible, the Gospel. These are two important books that were the base, and we declare that we believe in them also, the original form of them. We can't say that we believe in the Bible from now. The Bible today is not what was revealed to the prophets. The Christians admit this themselves, that there are so many versions of the Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament is the Torah and the New Testament is the Bible. And they have so many versions of them. They are not available in that original form anymore that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the name of the author is found on these Bibles now. So how could the books today be from Allah when some other authors wrote them? So we believe in the original books that were revealed to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the ones they have made up now after changing so much of the original ones. There are still many things in the Bible and the Torah today that were in the original book. They were not able to change it completely, but much of it has been changed. So how can we tell what parts of them are actually from the original book? The Quran verifies that information of what is right. That's why we learn that this Quran verifies the original forms of the Torah and the Bible. And it confirms what is in those books. Even today, the Quran verifies whatever is correct in their books, even though they've been changed so much. And using the Quran, we can also figure out whatever they've made up or changed in those books. وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And we believe in whatever was revealed to all the messengers from their Lord. This is what tolerance is. We as Muslims believe in everything that was revealed to all the messengers. Of course, we don't believe in the changes people made to these books afterwards, but we believe in the original forms of those books. For someone to say that all religions are okay is not being tolerant. We believe in the books of Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, so we believe in all of them. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم. We don't discriminate against any of these messengers. For example, we don't say that we believe in Yaqub alayhi salam but not Musa alayhi salam, or that we believe in Isa alayhi salam but not Ibrahim alayhi salam. To discriminate against anyone here means to not believe in any of them. Okay, so we believe in all of them, so we don't discriminate against any of them. When we speak to them, the Jews don't believe in Isa alayhi salam. And the Christians say they don't believe in Musa alayhi salam. And both of these groups don't believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who is tolerant? Which of the groups is the tolerant one? The Muslims. We believe in all of the prophets and respect all of them as much as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot say that we disrespect Isa alayhi salam, na'udhu billah, or any of the other messengers or books just because people from those religions disrespect Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Quran. We are not allowed to do that, to get back at them, because we respect all the prophets. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And say, only to him we are submissive. We surrender ourselves in Islam, that we are only obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ, in the beginning of this ayah, instead of saying, وَنَحْنُ مُسْلِمُونَ لَهُ, it says, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. So the لَهُ being at the beginning, before the word Muslimun, shows that him alone are we obedient to. If it was Muslimuna lahu, it would mean that we are submissive to him, and it could mean that we are obedient to him as well as others. But lahu makes this exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that only to him do we submit. Any obedience to others is not as important as obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's our parents or somebody's husband or kids, when they tell us something, we do it. But only if it is according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do things to please our families or people around us, but only if it's according to the orders of Allah. It cannot be given more importance than Allah's orders. We can't ignore his commands to obey these people. It's easy to say we are Muslim, نَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, but the actual test is to continue being obedient. The one who actually obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muslim. The real Muslims are the obedient ones, regardless of what we name ourselves. It won't be easy to answer when we'll be questioned about three things in our graves. We all know that we'll be asked about three things in our grave, right? Man Rabbuka, who is your Rabb? Who is your master, your creator? Then Ma Dinuka, what is your religion? Man Nabiyuka, who is your prophet? And it's not going to be easy to answer those things. We are mistaken if we think we'll easily answer by saying, Islam is my religion. Only the practicing Muslims will be able to say that. Think of it this way. When someone asks us what our name is, we are able to tell them easily without having to think or remember. However, when we are asked for our home phone number, we often don't even know it because of the speed dial function we use when calling. Likewise, the people who pray regularly, if they are asked to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, they are easily able to recite it, even when they're half asleep. This proves that whatever we spend most of our time doing becomes easy and second nature for us. We can recite the whole seven ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha so easily, alhamdulillah, but because we read it in prayer so many times every day. But when it comes to remembering the phone number that we haven't dialed, we don't remember it, right? Because we don't dial each digit at a time. Even though it's just a few digits, it's just a few numbers, we don't remember what our home phone numbers are so many times. It's the same with Islam. Whoever lives according to Islam will be able to say, my religion is Islam. And after death, it will be very difficult to answer the questions Munkar and Nakir will ask us, the two angels who will question us. Those angels will be very scary in appearance. So people will barely be in their senses out of fear. Only those people who had been practicing Islam their whole lives will be able to say that their religion is Islam, even when they're so terrified. Only those who lived according to the Shahada, they declared. Those who had Iman in their hearts and lived according to it, those who had Deen on their minds, they will be able to say, my Deen is Islam. But for those who are just Muslim by name, without living their lives according to Islam, how will they say that their religion is Islam when they were never interested in practicing Islam? They thought that others were fundamentalists just for praying once in a while. How practicing would they be themselves if they say stuff like that? Allahu Akbar. Don't they understand that we'll be questioned in our graves and that we will need to stand before Allah one day? وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And we are Muslims. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just writing Muslim in the section where we are questioned about what religion we belong to is not enough. We must try our best to be practicing Muslims. We shouldn't think it's enough to have Muslim names. We need to make dua for ourselves the way Ibrahim alayhi salam did. Oh Allah, make us Muslims, make us submissive to you. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا Then if they accept Islam like you, they will be rightly guided if they believe. Who is this ayah about? The Jews, Christians, and whoever else. It applies to everyone, including each one of us. If they believe like you have believed, who does the tum in amantum refer to? The way you have believed. It refers to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. They are being addressed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if people accept Islam like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, the Sahaba, the way they did, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا Then they have certainly attained guidance. Before this, we learned in Ayah 135 that the Jews and Christians told people they would be guided if they were Jewish or Christian. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of you will be rightly guided only after you believe the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions did. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba are told that no matter what they say, they will only be believers if they accept Islam like you. It doesn't matter which sect you belong to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts the Islam that was given to us and taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to achieve that standard for it to be accepted. It must be like that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. Like we learned last week, it's like being on the same train as them, but we're way back. It doesn't matter how far behind we are, at least we are trying to stay on the same track as them and follow in their footsteps. If we don't raise our standards by trying to follow their example, we cannot change ourselves for the better. Normally, it's considered bad to copy people, right? We say it's not good to copy. We tell our kids that too. But the more we copy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, the more guided we are, the more guided we will be. So we should copy them as much as we can. To be able to do that, we have to learn about their lives, not just to learn about how amazing they were, but because we have to follow their ways. We have to do things the way they did them. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. We must try to study the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he did things, and the seerah of his companions, the Sahaba, but about how they lived their lives, about how they did things in life. Each of the Sahaba had different habits, but they used their strengths to benefit Islam. Some excelled in the field of knowledge and others in fighting for Islam. Some of them were really charitable and others did so much to serve humanity. But one thing they all had in common is that they never compromised on their deen. They always stayed focused on following the orders of Allah. Whenever the Sahaba did any good deeds, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they kept in mind that they must do that work to succeed in the hereafter. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was very good in ilm, in knowledge, so he became the most prolific narrator of hadith. Subhanallah. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was given the title of being Saifullah, the sword of Allah, because of his battle skills that he used to benefit the Muslims. Uthman radiallahu anhu and Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu were very wealthy, and they used their great wealth to benefit Islam without letting those riches enslave them to this world. The Sahaba were the Muslim superheroes we should look up to. We can choose from any of the fields, but remember, they never compromised on the life of the hereafter for any temporary gain of this life. They faced so many problems at the hands of the hypocrites and the polytheists of Mecca, and at times the Jews also. They had to face so much opposition, but they were steadfast on deen. They had no doubts whatsoever about Islam. They never questioned why they were tested so much. Why me? That never came to mind. They were willing to sacrifice their lives for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to protect their iman. That is why they are the examples of people who were hanif, the unswerving people, the rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that we should believe the way they did. Okay, the way they believed in Allah and the hereafter, that's how we need to believe. So from the words, فَقَدِهْتَدَوْا, we should understand that we can only be of the guided ones if we follow their example. So we need to judge ourselves to determine where we stand in comparison to the iman of the Sahaba. How did they spend their lives? And what is my life like? Think about what their priorities were in life compared to ours. It's not like they were always very serious and quiet, and they never talked or had any enjoyment in their life. They didn't just sit there in the masjid doing zikr of Allah all the time. They did everything that we do. They got married, they had kids, they fulfilled their responsibilities in life. They had neighbors and relatives that they lived around and they dealt with. But how were they? That's what we need to learn. Because Allah told us that only if we follow their example and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example, we would be the guided ones. We need to remember this. So first, try to learn about the life of the best example possible, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who trained these sahaba, these companions of his, to be who they were. And then we should learn about them also. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, and if they reject the truth because they don't want to believe, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba did, فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ, then they are definitely in a state of dissension. When people don't want to follow the orders, they oppose them. Even today, those who don't want to follow Islam make fun of practicing Muslims sometimes. Or they do other things to stop them. They basically oppose them. If you try to speak to them, they don't accept Islam because they are stubborn. So you must be steadfast in deen when dealing with people like that. This is how you can prove that you are true believers. If we fail these small tests, how can we face the upcoming tests of the Dajjal and withstand the other great trials that are coming up? Do we really think that our iman is capable of dealing with those things? Whenever a storm is predicted, we prepare ahead of time because we don't know what to expect. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that Dajjal is coming and told us about the signs of his arrival. We see some of those signs now. Have we prepared by strengthening our iman? The time of Dajjal's arrival is drawing near. Anyone who has studied the deen a little bit and understands it, even a little bit, knows what sort of trials we will have to face. We cannot ignore this topic, and we must strengthen our iman. We should remember that we have to protect our iman, our belief. We may have to sacrifice by not even having food to eat, losing our jobs or homes. No matter what happens, we must save our iman, our faith, our belief, like Fir'aun's slave did. Evil Fir'aun, everybody knows about him, right? His slave, remember? She believed in Allah, and her kids were put in a pot of boiling oil right before her eyes. But she still refused to disbelieve in Allah. She was put to death after having to watch her children die, but she died as a Muslim. So she succeeded. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying that he will be enough for him against the disbelievers. He tells him to not worry about it when they fall into dissension, when they fall into discord. These problems will arise, but then Allah will be sufficient for you as a defender against the wrongdoers. This is why the Sahaba asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the end times, what they should do if they are alive then. They worried about having to face the trials of these times and asked him what dua they should make. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided them to read, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is enough for me, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Again, that's Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that he will become enough for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against those who oppose him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And he is all-hearing and all-knowing. This means that he hears whatever they plot, and he knows the hatred they feel in their hearts for the Muslims. صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ The special coloring of Allah. What color is that? It's not the normal colors we think of, like yellow, blue, or green. The color of Allah is the color of His deen. That's what Sibghat Allah means. The way faith in Allah gives a special color to life. Back in those times, the Christians used to take their babies to church on the seventh day and sprinkle yellow color on them, saying the babies had become Christian after that. They actually do this nowadays as well. They call it baptism. But in this ayah, we are told that the most beautiful color of all is the color of Allah, the color of His religion. He rejects what they do when they baptize their kids. Sibghah is not a color that people are born with. They must adopt it. Like a dye, like when we dye something a certain color. That's what Muslims must do, adopt the color of deen, the color of Allah. When someone looks at you, they should be able to tell that you have the special color of Allah in your life. This doesn't mean you have to wear a specific color, but people should remember Allah when they see you. We say that our appearance doesn't matter, as long as our hearts are pure. Your hearts may be pure, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Sibghat Allah. He doesn't tell us to dye our hearts. Sibghat Allah, or the color of faith, is on the outside. The way we speak, the way we dress and do things, and how we live our lives, all these things can be used to judge if we have adopted the color of Allah or not. And if you think about fabrics that people dye, the color only looks beautiful if it's not patchy. It has to be even to look beautiful. The color of Allah is beautiful if it is apparent in all aspects, all the aspects of our lives, not just in some. So when we adopt the color of Allah in some parts of life, and the color of other people in other aspects, we have not truly taken on the color of Allah. We have to take on that special color of Allah in our lives. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً And what color can be better than the color of Allah? Unfortunately, people sometimes think that the ways of others are better, or they prefer them over the Islamic ways. But the Quran declares that Allah's color is the best. Sometimes we wonder what our status is with Allah, according to Him. We can easily decide by comparing our likes and dislikes to the orders of Allah in the Quran. The more we like what Allah has commanded us to do, the higher our status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says His special color is the most beautiful. We should ask ourselves, at what times do we think Allah's color is unacceptable in our lives? When we take on the color of others. Remember, if we want to adopt the color of Allah, we have to get rid of the colors of others from our lives first and become neutral. We can't just paint over other colors. After we remove the colors of others, we can take on the color of Allah in our lives. And Sibghat Allah means to pour that color all over yourself. That's how we should adopt the color of Allah. That anyone who looks at us or deals with us should clearly know we are Muslim. If we don't act like Muslims in the way we speak or eat, behave, or deal with others, we are not living with the color of Allah. That color should be apparent in our lives. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ, and to him we are slaves or worshippers. We learned before that ibadah means to worship due to intense love and humility. So if you want to be abidun to him, we should be obedient out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, willingly. Then we can say, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ. Say, do you argue with us about Allah? وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. When he is our Rabb and yours. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to say to them, do you argue with us about Allah when he is your Rabb and ours? So why do you dispute with us concerning Allah? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba invited them to Tawheed, to believe in one Allah. So why argue over it? As Muslims, we should think. We believe in one Allah, the same Quran, the same messenger, the same Kaaba. Everything is the same. So why do we argue over different sects? This is what the non-Muslims did then. وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. We are accountable to Allah for our deeds and you for yours. Muslims are told to convey the message of Islam, but we can't force anyone to accept it or force them to change their actions. If they turn away, they are accountable for their actions. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ, and we are devoted only to him. مُخْلَص is one that Allah chooses for himself, and مُخْلِص, the word here, means the one that chooses Allah. So if we say وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ, it means we are the ones who have chosen Allah to be devoted to him. The messengers were chosen by Allah, so they were مُخْلَص. We choose Allah, so we are مُخْلِص. We have to be pure and sincere in order to be مُخْلِص to Allah. We must be devoted to him and do good deeds only to please him, without any impurity in our intentions, no showing off or arrogance. Otherwise, our work goes to waste. Allah only accepts the good deeds that are done exclusively for his approval. That's why it's very important to be sincere. And we should always check our niyyah, our intention, behind any work that we do. Remember we learned the dua, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, O Allah, accept from us. Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam worried about this, because Allah only accepts the work that is done just for him. Our predecessors used to hide their good deeds from people. So they wanted to make sure that whatever they did was exclusively for Allah. This was the reason. Junaid Baghdadi said, ikhlas, or sincerity, is a secret between Allah and his slave. Even angels don't know that they can write it. Nobody knows it. Only Allah knows how pure it is. Ikhlas is when a servant hides his good deeds as if he hides his sins. That's how we can be pure in our intentions, if we try to hide our work from people. Just do things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we should think that our good deeds are very small and unimportant. Keep that in mind. Instead of thinking that we're doing great work, we have to avoid telling others about any work we do. Why should we mention our work when we don't even know if it was accepted by Allah or not? There are three signs of a person who does things for riya. Riya means to show off. The first is when that person is alone, he becomes negligent in all acts of worship. And he is energetically active in doing good deeds when he's around others. Second, when someone compliments him, he becomes more efficient in doing good deeds. And third, he stops doing good deeds when he is not complimented by others. Ikhlas is the exact opposite of riya, or showing off. Riya nullifies all acts of worship. So our goal should be to do all work with utmost sincerity just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is challenging sometimes, so we must keep reminding ourselves. At times, doing a good deed is not as hard as doing it just for Allah's sake and preserving that deed in our book of records. So let's keep in mind all work we do, whether it's big or small, it must be done absolutely for His sake. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطَ كَانُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Do you claim all these messengers were Jewish or Christian? The Jews said that these messengers were Jewish, and the Christians said that all the messengers we just mentioned were Christian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ, say to them, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ, are you more knowledgeable than Allah? You say that they were all either Jewish or Christian. But who knows better, you or Allah? وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, and who is more unjust than the one who hides the testimony received from Allah? What was the testimony of Allah that they received? They had already read in their books that Ibrahim a.s. was not Jewish or Christian. They knew this about Ishaq, Ismail, and Yaqub alayhim wasalam as well. And they knew that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was the last messenger. They hid all these testimonies. Allah says, who can be more wicked, more evil than those who hide the testimony received from Allah? وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah is not at all unaware of what you do. Allah says to them that He is aware that they know everything very well. They know the truth. But they still don't admit that these messengers were on Tawheed, that they believed in one God. They still claim that they were Jewish or Christian. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that was an ummah, a nation that passed. These messengers that were mentioned above, they deserve to be called a whole nation, subhanallah. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ, but what they did was for themselves, and they will be responsible only for that. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبَتُمْ, and for you is what you earned. You proudly say that they were Jewish or Christian, lying about it. But will you benefit from that in any way? What they did was for themselves. And what you do, whatever you do, is what you will be held accountable for. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, you will not be questioned about what they did. They were our forefathers. But the question is, who are you? Who are we? That's what matters. This ayah should motivate us to do good deeds. The work these legendary prophets did was amazing, subhanAllah. But we can't end up with them in the hereafter just by telling their stories, the stories about their great accomplishments. And our sins will not be forgiven because of their work. We cannot think that we will be forgiven just for being their offspring, or that we can just follow them to Jannah somehow. That will not happen. We have to act like them, follow their example to succeed in the hereafter. These were the Muslim superheroes who were role models for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like them. Allow us to follow their example and learn from them. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. I'm very happy that we have finished the first juz of the Quran. And I would like to congratulate all of you on this completion of the first juz. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts and to enable us to remember what we have learned. And may He grant us the ability to continue to learn His book and implement it in our lives. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan katira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.